I'm gently, kindly calling this meeting to order. May I have your attention, please? May we have quiet in the room? Okay. I am going to ask, I have called the meeting to order, and I'm going to ask the secretary to do the roll call. Oh, I'm sorry.
Of course.
Okay, everybody settled in? Agamir? Agamir is... Sorry? Agamir's not here at the moment. Bernstein?
He's absent out of town.
Bernstein is out of town. Drake?
Here.
Drake is here. Fest?
Here.
Fest is here. Futrin?
Here.
Futrin is here. Gans?
Here.
Gans is here. Goldmacher?
Goldmacher
is out of town. Con Hallinan.
Here.
Con Hallinan is here. Matthew Hallinan.
Here.
Matthew Hallinan is here. Johnson.
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn.
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Nor. Okay. Nor is in Gaza. Pritchett.
Here.
Pritchett is here. Privis. Privis was here. She's not here. Okay. She's not here at the moment. Rosenberg. Rosenberg is here. Russell.
She's absent.
Russell is absent. Sawyer. Sawyer is here. Privis. Privis is here. Siegel. Siegel is not here. Sterling. Sterling is here. Tanaka. Sorry, Aki Tanaka, and Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka? Okay, Kate Tanaka is not here at the moment. Turner? Turner is not here. Wilkinson?
Present.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. That's 17 present and a quorum.
Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to excuse the absences of Mal Bernstein, Donald Goldmacher, Henry Knorr, and Tanya Russell. Is there a second? Take Andrea Turner right off that list. Okay. Andrea Turner is here. It's been made and seconded to excuse Mal Bernstein, Don Goldmacher, Henry Knorr, and Tanya Russell. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Thank you. All right. And now we're ready to talk about the agenda. Before I open the agenda for discussion, the chair has a couple of requests about the agenda. One is that I would request that someone make a motion to move the PMB bylaws amendment up to after the treasurer's report, before the committee reports. And the reason is that this is something we absolutely have to do today, so I don't want to leave it to chance that we won't get to it. Rich has made that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any opposition to the motion? Okay, seeing none, that will be the order. And the second thing is that the Community Advisory Board has asked that they be on at a time certain at 2 p.m. They are currently on the agenda for 2 p.m., but just in case we're not at that place when they arrive at 2, I would ask the indulgence of the body to have them be heard no matter where we are on the agenda at 2 p.m. Is there any opposition to that? Thank you all very much. Okay, so now the agenda is open for discussion. I see... Okay, go ahead.
I would simply like to reiterate the fact that we keep our comments short, and I would like to have a maximum of 2 minutes for speaking.
Okay, let's hold that till after we've approved the agenda. I'll come back to you then, okay? Okay, Tracy.
In the old business arrangement of things, generally that should be indicated by the amount of notice that items were given. And I'm just asking because I'm aware when the KPFA worker motion was put on the listserv, we all saw it, and it has a notice date, and there's an item put on top of it which I've never seen noticed. So I'm wondering whether those items would appropriately be flipped if we were following Robert's Rules of Order in old business. That's item two and item three.
Personally, I was unaware of that, whatever that is, a procedure. The Community Advisory Board is from...
Yeah, that's left over from the previous week.
Okay, that's fine. I have no objection. We'll switch the order of the business and put the program council at the bottom of the list and the KPFA worker in the middle. Is that all right? Anybody object to that? No problem. Okay. So now we're ready. Are we ready to approve the agenda as amended? Okay. And there's a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? That was hard to say. Okay. Seeing none, we will go with the agenda as amended. Now, Ringo, you had a motion?
Well, my motion was that I think we've been functioning more efficiently if we keep our remarks to 2 minutes. And I would suggest and I propose that the body, that speakers keep their remarks to 2 minutes.
Okay, that's you're supposed to use a microphone, he said. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so say it again into the microphone.
Okay,
doesn't sound like it. Yeah. No.
Spit on the contact, David.
Yes, this mic is working.
1, 2, 1, 2.
This mic is working.
This sounds like it's working. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's all right. Not your
Okay,
phone.
My proposal is that that we keep the comments of speakers to 2 minutes.
Okay. Sasha. Is there a second? Okay.
Are we on, point of information, are we on automatic pilot that everybody gets to speak once and we're limited to 2 comments per person on a specific item?
That's part of Robert's Rules of
okay.
Order, yes. Okay.
I'll second.
The chair would just like to point out that in the past we've had a 3-minute rule, most recently, not a 2-minute rule.
I'm sorry, 3 minutes is fine.
Okay, thank you. I just didn't want to have that argument. Okay. All right. Is there any opposition to the motion?
We have to vote on this every month. You know that.
Andrea Pritchett has her hand up. I can see through David, and that's how I know. Use the mic, please.
I love free speech.
Okay. Any other speakers on the motion? All right, I think we're ready to come to a vote. I expect a divided house on this, so I will ask the secretary to take a roll call vote. Sorry.
Use the microphone.
He will.
Okay, so this is to limit speakers to 3 minutes. Agamir is not here. Bernstein is not here. Drake?
Yes.
Sorry? Drake?
Yes.
Drake is yes. Fest?
No.
Fest is no. Futrin?
C.
Futrin is yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans is yes. Goldmacher is not here. Conhellinen?
Yes.
Conhellinen, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr is not here. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett is no. Privis? Privis is yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg is no. Russell is not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel is not here. Sterling?
No.
Sterling is no. Aki Tanaka? I'm sorry? Aki Tanaka is no. Kate Tanaka is not here. Turner?
Yes.
Turner is yes. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is not voting. Withers?
Yes.
Withers is yes. That's 10 yes, 7 no, and it passes.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Now we are ready to talk about approving the minutes from the last meeting. I think the secretary has something to say.
I'm going to do the minutes in rhymed couplets. No, I apologize. I don't have the minutes. You know, without the discipline of monthly meetings, everything just goes to pot. So I apologize. What I will do is prepare the minutes and circulate them within the next week, so everybody has plenty of time to review them for the next meeting and you make any corrections and so forth. So I really apologize for that.
Good enough.
Yeah, good enough? Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you. So the October minutes will be circulated to the board, and we will approve them at another meeting. Speaking of which, Sasha?
Do we need to set the next meeting?
That's just what I was
going
to talk about. Okay, so we did this thing online, and I figured out that most people could come on the 19th, two people, David Gans and Frank Sterling, said that they would not be able to attend on the 19th, but there were more people who couldn't attend on the 20th, so I proposed online that we meet on the 19th, and I have not heard any objections from anybody about that. I also surveyed the candidates. However, it's not totally clear to me what this process should be. I don't think we can set a meeting online, and there seems to be some need for some sort of unanimity in setting a meeting, not in a meeting. So today I am going to ask a member of the body to make a motion that we have this mid-December meeting on the 19th of December, location to be announced, so that we can have a vote of the body, whether we do it or not. Once the motion is made, people can make amendments or substitute motions and so on. That's my request. Yes, Tracy.
Motion made for the local station board to have its required December meeting on December 19th, I think 6 to 9 is what?
That's fine.
Within the motion? Okay. So moved.
Okay. All right. Is there a second? Thank you. Is there any discussion? Yes, Andrea.
I was just curious. I know that there was some efforts online to use the Doodle tool. And I think it's a great tool, and I would like to recommend to the chair that we make use of that. I don't feel like it has a conspiratorial sort of perspective on it. It's just sort of a thing people use so that everybody knows who's available and who's not. And it also, mathematically, you're allowed to present many more choices than just two, and it makes sense of all that. So in future, could we try to use that?
I have no problems with that. Right now, we really should be talking about whether or not you oppose or approve or support the motion to have the meeting on the 19th. We can have a separate discussion about scheduling meetings. In general, my preference would be to do what we've done this past year, which is at the beginning of the year to set the schedule for the meetings for the year. This happened to have been, you know, an unusual situation, and I don't have any personal objections to using Doodle. I had some concerns about the way it happened. So, but I don't think we really should. Once we've dealt with this motion, let's have a few minutes discussion about that. Okay.
Well, my point being that the 19th and 20th are both not really convenient dates for me, and there were other options that were proposed that are not being considered here. And without having done the doodle, we don't have the information about who's available.
I consulted the doodle tool, and the 19th and 20th were the days when most people could attend. There were many more absences on other. I took into account what people said on the doodle, absolutely, and what people said to me personally. And some people replied to the entire board. So I looked at all of the information that we had available, and as it turned out, the 19th and 20th were the 2 days that excluded the fewest number of people. Okay, and I also consulted the candidates, because this is very complicated, because we have to make it, it has to be accessible to the people who are running, who don't even know if they'll have to attend at this point, because they don't know whether they're going to be elected. So, you know, it was a complex sort of deal, but that's what worked out. Are we ready to come to a vote on this motion now? All right. So all those in favor of holding the mid-December meeting on December 19th, place to be announced, please raise your hands or say something. No, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Oh, does anyone object? Cool. No objections. That shall be the order. Let's see. And I think that, yes, Janet.
Oh, well, I was going to address the doodle. Can I?
Go ahead, sure.
Okay. So I sent out the doodle that was suggested by somebody else, and I did it because I thought it would be helpful. Using a doodle is not really setting a meeting. It's just surveying the availability,
right.
Transparently. So
right.
It's useful.
Okay, thank you. Jack.
The first thing is that I do not doodle. And I consider anybody asking me to doodle as an invasion into my personal privacy. I would rather have you watch me with the bathroom door open. Second,
Jesus Christ.
Second, I will not respond to anybody trying to set the date of a meeting except for the chair of the board.
Sasha.
Yeah, that's basically all I wanted to say was the chair had already put in motion getting information from both LSB members and candidates as to who could make what dates. And someone who is not a chair then, you know, a few days later sending out a whole other message, you know, as though they were the person to set this agenda is totally inappropriate and it's confusing and it wastes a lot of time because we have two different systems then in motion. And, you know, if you have a good idea, you should check with the chair, whoever that person may be, and see whether they would like to do that and let them implement it if they would.
Okay, are we ready to move on? Thank you. We're ready for public comments. If somebody could bring me the list from the table, I will call on the vote. Aki.
I just request the secretary to note Kate Tanaka and Sharon as being excused absence unless they show up.
Okay, that's good. Maybe we have... Still not present are Sharam, Dan Siegel, and Kate Tanaka. Dan Siegel did indicate that he would be here, but he would be late. So maybe what we'll do is take up the question of excused absences. Let's see, later, and make sure that everybody who isn't here is appropriately excused. Okay, thank you. Okay, we have three names on the speaker's list, Virginia Browning, Daniel Borgstrom, and Kate Goen. Virginia is the first on the list. Is there someone who's willing to keep time here?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Ringo.
How long do I have?
3 minutes.
Hi, I would like to...
Well, let me start by saying that a staff member got a message to me saying that that person's opinion is that staff people feel intimidated and afraid to announce on the air that there's an election going on for the local station board. So I don't know why that would be, except that in past years, people, some of the people there have put obstacles up to getting announcements on the air. This year, I don't really understand what the problem is. There should be announcements on the air now saying something like, your vote is your voice. There's some neutral announcement. There's a local station board election happening right now. It's different this year. You can't bring your ballots to the station. Get your ballots in as soon as you can. And, you know, how, call the 800 number if you didn't receive a ballot. It's important. It's your vote is your voice, something like that. And so I don't really, I don't, the IGM has written to me three times saying that it's up to the election supervisor. So unless he's, you know, not telling me what's really happening, he's not the one that's preventing this from happening, but somebody is. There should be announcements on the air, and staff should have a script to read, or should there should be a cart made. So I think that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you. I will say, I just want to comment that I have heard some staff talk about the elections and urging people to get their ballots in, so I don't know, I'm not sure what, but in any case, I appreciate your concern, and we'll, you know, check into it. Okay, Daniel.
Yes, I'm Daniel. This is a bit uncomfortable, but let me bring it up anyway. I understand that we have some rule about being in on the LSB and being in government at the same time. Now, I understand that Pamela Drake, while on the LSB, also works for the mayor. I would like to know in what the particulars of this are. Also, I read this from your website, from various newspapers. That's where I got this information. Also, at Occupy, and I'm at Occupy Oakland, and Pam is also at Occupy Oakland. And I am raising a question.
I fully intend to allow Pam to respond when Daniel is done. Thank you.
Yes,
this if she chooses.
yes, this is a question. Actually, a question I'd like to raise. As I was saying, at Occupy, I'm in Occupy Oakland. I understand that Pam was quite active there. And that her job, whatever it may be, I'd like to hear what it is. I think you're coordinator of a committee, which you define as advising the mayor on various local issues. And I wonder if that includes strategies for suppressing Occupy. I mean, that's a personal concern to me.
Okay, okay. That's
I had
enough.
Guns pointed at me. I mean, I would like to know.
Okay, I understand. Do you have any? Do you have anything else? Please don't ask any more questions about Pam. I'm going to ask Pam if she wants to respond. But are you? Do you have anything else you want to say before you're done?
That's it. And thank you for listening to my question.
Thank you. I would like to point out that Pam Drake is. Well, go ahead, Pam. You may respond.
I do not work for the mayor, and that's all there is to it. And I do go to Occupy because I've been very involved with that, too. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Kate Gaughan.
Good
Yes, I have a concise, specific concern as a listener about one of the resolutions coming before you this morning. And as a listener to Free Speech Radio, the resolution concerning kpfaworker.org concerns me greatly. And I will demonstrate what my concerns are by substituting the website supportkpfa.com or org, whichever it is, and reading the resolution. Whereas supportkpfa.whatever contains the station's call letters, and whereas supportkpfa is not an official KPFA website, and whereas supportkpfa is not the website of any KPFA show, and whereas supportkpfa is not an official CWA local whatever, and whereas supportkpfa's ownership is unknown and its function appears to be partisan, be it resolved that the KPFA local station board requests the IGM to advise staff to refrain from promoting supportkpfa site on the air.
That's it? Okay, thank you, public, for your comments, and I think we're ready to move on.
I have a motion.
Go ahead, Jack.
I move that Daniel Borgstrom be prohibited from addressing the KPFA local station board for the next year.
Free speech.
And would you like to, first of all, is there a second to that motion? All right, I'm asking for a second. Hold on. The motion dies for lack of a second. Thank you. All right. We are now ready for announcements. Any members of the local station board have announcements they would like to make? Cynthia.
Thank you. In view of trying to build the movement, which we all want, our Berkeley Fellowship has a Justice Center. I'm going to put these December announcements over there. We, in particular, I want to point out a couple of things. We have David Rovix, one of the best musicians, on December 9th. On the 20th, we have Dr. Abba Leish, the Palestinian doctor who wrote the book I Will Not Hate, and then a bunch of other things, the drone tour on Sunday, etc. But I'll just put those over here for anyone to choose to look at if they wish. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Any other announcements from board members? Okay, I have two announcements. Starting on Tuesday, December 4th, there will be the Winter Fun Drive at KPFA, and I urge all of you to spend some time in the phone room, unless you work at the station, in which case you'll be spending more time there than you want. But but if you don't work at the station, come to the phone room, answer the phones. Something that is really important for the station. If there aren't enough people in the phone room, we lose money when the phones ring and cannot be answered. And it's actually something that I personally enjoy doing. You get to meet all kinds of interesting people, and it's an easy way to support the station. The other announcement I have is that the KPFA Crafts Fair is taking place the weekend of December 8th and 9th. There's still work shifts needed for Friday the 7th when setup will take place. I urge people, if they have time, to contact. You go to the part of the KPFA webpage that talks about the crafts fair, and there's a button that says volunteer, and if you select that button, you can volunteer for work shifts. And they do need people, particularly on Friday when there won't be any customers there, but they will be setting up the fair. So I urge you all to do that, and it gets you free admission to the fair. Any other announcements? David.
I just want to point out that I am performing on Saturday, December 8th, from noon until 1:45 p.m. at the Crafts Fair.
At the fair. Great. Okay. And I'd like the record to show that Sharam Agamir has arrived. Thank you. Frank.
I would just add that working at the Crafts Fair for the last couple of years, that if you do come Friday morning, it's helping set up decorations, decorating the Crafts Fair area, and putting out the numbers for the booth. So, yeah, I'll be there early Friday morning. If anyone wants to help come set up, you could decorate the concourse and set up some numbered booths and stuff like that.
Okay. Andrea.
Yeah,
I'd like to announce that the Woody Guthrie event at SF City College will be on December the 6th, so please come out and check it out. It's put on by the Labor Department there, La Pena Chorus, Rockin' Solidarity Chorus, Vukani Mwetu will also perform, and so come out and support the legacy and the history in the spirit of Woody Guthrie.
Thank you. Yes, Cynthia.
Could I just add that on that December 6th, John Fromer, if he's feeling well enough, will be there too. So it's
okay.
A really great event.
Great. Okay. Anybody else? Any more announcements? Got it. Okay. Thank you very much. We're now the chair doesn't have much to report. I have talked to I've been in touch with the CAB and you'll note when they report that we talked about the idea of asking the IGM to do some help do some publicity about vacancies on the CAB, and I suggested to them that it would be probably most appropriate for the actual election to CAB membership to take place when the new LSB is seated, rather than to have us, who are basically a lame duck group of people, do it. And so we'll be talking about that. I am, of course, very concerned about the elections that are going on. Recently, the election supervisor sent out, Terry Brishes, who's the national election supervisor, sent out a note showing the difference, how far each state, how many votes each station needed to have both in staff and listener categories to have reached quorum. And it looked to me like KPFA was really the only one that was in within shooting distance of that. I don't know what this means for the future of these elections or how it's going to play out. And I hope the PMB is talking about it and will give us, you know, some wisdom on the matter. But the in addition to that, there has been a lot of email traffic recently. I don't know who's getting all these emails, and I'm very appreciative of the note that Andrea Pritchett sent saying, you know, take me, let's not talk about this anymore, and kind of, or let me not talk about it. I can't see how to get off the list because I think it's being sent to the KPFA LSB open list, and I don't want to be off that list, and so I don't see how my personal email can be removed from that. But in any event, it seems to me that there are lots of complaints at lots of stations about potential violations of fair campaign practices and, you know, sort of a very disconcerting number of people who are talking about potential legal claims, and so anyway, it's very disheartening and also concerning about what's going to happen with these elections. And I hope that, as I said, I hope the PMB is going to talk about it and give us some advice. So that's the end of my report, I would now like to recognize Andrew Phillips to make his report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure you all know that WBAI was swamped by Hurricane Sandy. The building WBAI occupies at 120 Wall Street was inundated with salt water up to the second floor. Some producers were trapped upstairs in the building on the 10th floor for 60 hours, but they were unable to broadcast. For a while that Monday night, a month ago, WBAI broadcast from the chief announcer's kitchen in Harlem, far from the storm surge. Michael G. Haskins had a Comrex connection to the Empire State Building, where the transmitter is located. So WBAI was still on the air, but unable to receive phone calls at this crucial time. The way to proceed in such an emergency would require us to have access to our listeners over the phone. The listeners become our eyes and our ears. Unfortunately, It seems that inadequate provision was made at WBAI to ensure we had this part together. I'm not sure of the chronology, but within days, WBAI was broadcasting out of studios lent by Gary Knoll, WBAI's major fundraising producer. But access was limited to the building. A lot of the programs that were going to air were canned. WBAI was still unable to adequately take listener phone calls, which must have a terrific impact on the audience, unfortunately. Obviously, they were going elsewhere to get information. But I understand that despite many transmission difficulties at WBAI, the news team was able to maintain a consistent service to their audience. But there is no doubt that our sister station in New York is in trouble and was not adequately prepared to respond to such a disaster. It's a sobering tale and implies that the network, if we consider ourselves a serious broadcast entity, that we must be better prepared and equipped in future to fulfill our vital functions. 10 days after the disaster, KPFA staff has suggested we convene a 12-hour national broadcast to raise essential funds for WBAI. It was a Friday. A few of us gathered with Summer Reese in the KPFA newsroom and decided to do it. We coordinated with Pacifica's technical staff at KPFA and nationally, brought in the other stations, and on the following Thursday at 6 a.m. the broadcast began. Mitch Jeserich was producer, and I believe it was the first time such a broadcast by Pacifica of this kind, utilizing all stations in real time, coordinated out of KPFA, 12 hours of good radio, which raised $190,000. I think it was the first time we'd ever done that as a network. Great. We took in 1,200 pledges that day. We took in about 1,200 pledges that day, that 1,000 pledges per hour, plus a lot on the web. It was a great example of what Pacifica can do, and that day revealed a new face of our network. The pledges were taken in Los Angeles at KPFK. 16 people were in the phone room, and there were often the phones were completely lit. We moved about 450 Eaton F-160 emergency radios. KPFA handled the data input, and the job is done. The premiums will be shipped from a fulfillment house, probably out of Los Angeles. Some people said we should not have helped, that it was sending good money after bad. We knew this going in. But as producers who've worked with this network for many years, we're not prepared to go down without a fight and lose our New York outlet. This event lifted the morale of our network, pulled us together, and produced some excellent programming. End of year brief fundraiser. I mean, I don't want to go into the history of BAI, where it's at the moment, but it's still in deep trouble. I think we know that. KPFA begins another on-air fundraiser this Tuesday. It's scheduled for 10 days, but we hope to finish in less time than this. In our last drive, we stopped 5 days early and $150,000 under our goal, which was $735,000. We stopped because the drive was slow. Presidential debates were breaking into fundraising. We knew our market was being tapped to support Obama. It was a difficult drive, so we consulted together, stopped it. We were concerned about lack of adequate coverage for the upcoming presidential elections as well. The strategy worked. We explained what we were doing to our audience, and they responded. We powered home in the last 2 days, raising $150,000 in 2 days. We expect to make up the difference in our upcoming fundraiser. We all understand that this fundraising model is old and threadbare. But it's all we've got for now. I will report on our development progress in a moment. PRA, the Pacifica Radio Archive fundraiser. 2 days before the WBAI national fundraiser, we carried the PRA two-day fundraiser. And over 2 days, the effort raised nearly $200,000 across the network. As you may know, KPFA also gives 2.5% of our levy to PRA. LSB elections. I believe KPFA has been fulfilling its governance responsibilities. As you will have heard, election candidate carts are running. And I must say, I think our audience should be aware of the elections since we've had over 200 announcements so far, plus at least 6 hours of forums. So I don't think there's any problem with our elections not knowing there's an election, our audience not knowing there's an election going on. Our election supervisor, Aaron Morris, has done a great job, I believe. I think so far this has been a fair process at KPFA. At the same time, I believe the process is flawed. This is a personal comment.
The inundation of announcements that seems basically to say the same thing and march in a kind of lockstep with Slate's makes KPFA sound a little bit like Pravda, in my opinion. Since less than, and that might be so bad in some people's opinions, I don't know. Since less than 10% of our audience actually takes part in elections, that would be less than 2,000 people, I wonder why we go through such a painful process that excludes important community announcements and actually may drive audience away, when we could be using the internet, and I know the LSB has been interested in that, and I urge them to explore that and perhaps put pressure in the right places to move a lot of that information to the internet. Ballots will be counted in New York after December 11. Unpaid staff organisation, the UPSO. We're working with Otis McClay, a computer programmer, who works with Pacifica National Office on a computer program to register unpaid staff. I expect it up and running probably in January. Goalbusters. Some of you met the Goalbusters team at the Amy Goodman event. Goalbusters has designed and sent a survey, and we will tabulate the results soon. We have a preliminary report which audits and examines our current development and fundraising strategies and includes some broad suggestions that will take us to stage two of the consultation. The report includes development strategic priorities, improving current efforts like decreasing pledge days, identifying prospective donors and cultivating them, and increasing awareness of KPFA. It's quite a detailed report and it goes into much more detail. There's a lot more, including target markets and a timeline for grant applications, plus names and information as to people we might contact and organisations, funders we might contact. Goalbusters will facilitate grant writing and applications. Funding priorities include the apprenticeship program, the speaker series, website revision, building renovation, that would be the building next door at 1929, Nakapan so-called, and the general operations of the station. Of course, we already know and understand a lot of what we need in development, but we've never had the staff, the time or the expertise to capitalise on the knowledge that we do have. Of course, we know the Crafts Fair is coming up this weekend, and as usual, Jan Itry has worked hard to pull this together, and we look forward to a successful event. Pacifica National Office. Summer Reese has been in close contact with KPFA. She's brought in a competent staff from down south, from Los Angeles. She's been assisted by her posse. With the help of our business manager, Maria Negrette, we seem to have solved most of our payroll problems. This is great relief. For months under the previous Pacifica administration, payroll across the network was in an uproar and invited legal threats. Fortunately, none seemed to be forthcoming, but the obvious lack of oversight and knowledge by the outgoing Pacifica leadership, the unpaid bills such as liability insurance for the network, which KPFA finished up paying in the end, left the foundation in a very disorganised state, I would suggest. KPFA has been assisting the national office, and our relationship with Nextdoor has greatly improved, I believe. KPFA's relationship has improved substantially and will continue to, and I think that's a little bit of good news, and that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Okay, the floor is open for questions, comments to Andrew. Okay, I have Tracy, Frank, and Sasha. Tracy, go ahead. No problem. Frank, you're first.
I just want to say I thought it was a good idea to do the WBAI thing. I was listening to a lot of it. It sounded good, and I feel like it did bring a lot of people together inside the station. The network, it felt like a network. You know, I got to hear a lot of other voices. One part of that really felt good to hear was when the people from New York like thanked the KPFA and thanked the network for actually coming to their aid. And it made me feel like we are part of a network, so I would say that was a good move. I appreciated it, and it did raise some funds for them in their time of need. And it was just great to hear the people over there, you know, thanking KPFA and the network and actually feeling part of a network.
Sasha.
I can actually only remember one of two things I wanted to say, and I wanted to look at Andrew's report for a moment to see if I could remind myself. So you can either wait for me if Tracy wants to be the last speaker for a minute or two, or you can go on.
I have another speaker, Andrea Pritchett. Go ahead, Andrea.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew, for your report. And yeah, I want to congratulate you and everybody. There's been a lot of fundraising efforts and a lot of great work that's been happening. As usual, I'm interested in the development aspect, and I'm interested in how the LSB can help in actually doing the work of development. It feels like there's just so many opportunities to do stuff. So I'm wondering what is your plan, or what is the plan, or what is Goldbuster's plans for working with this group? Because we've got a resolution on our agenda today that's trying to mandate that we do some fundraising, but it feels like it would really be more effective if we were all on the same page, if we were all working together. I'm also interested in when we're talking about grants. I'm wondering, is Goldbusters actually writing the grants, or are they identifying grant possibilities, and are you looking for grant writers? And I'm still interested in how this Goldbusters interfaces with a national strategy for development, because I'm still interested in the possibility of Pacifica beginning to have its own memberships and online access to a library of Pacifica archives and so forth. I feel like that's really possible and doable, and I just want to know. And then finally, I'm asking, do you foresee the possibility of us, our LSB, possibly in January or early this year, working with staff, you or whoever you find, whoever represents staff or management, to engage in some common goal setting, priority setting for the coming year, so that we can kind of all focus our efforts and take on different parts of the work? But it feels like for the last while, our budgeting process has not been linked to any kind of evaluation of our work or any kind of future goals or priorities. And I would love to see that budget process linked to some kind of systematic review of what we're doing and where we want to go.
Okay. Do you want to respond to that, or do you want to?
I think that's a big one. Let me quickly
respond.
I mean, how many years has it been we've been talking about development and done nothing? All right? How many years?
A lot.
A lot.
As long as I've
been here for years. Correct.
Forever.
And the same applies to KPFA. How many years have we talked about having a development director? How much money did our development directors actually raise? That's just a question. Once upon a time, we raised $3 million and built a building down the road. That was 1993. I think that might be the last time we raised a good amount of money. Here's Goldbuster's report. We're doing something. I think it's like the first time we're actually doing something. It's costing us less than $40,000. So we're on the track. And I think when Goldbusters comes back to Berkeley, I believe sometime January we're talking, absolutely, they should meet with the LSB. The survey went out to the LSB and other people. The LSB is therefore involved. And, I mean, we're working on all of these, on a lot of the things I think you're concerned about. And I think the best thing to say is, let's convene a meeting, let's have Goldbusters talk to the LSB and get some input from them as well. I think you'll find that a lot of these issues have already been covered. In terms of the LSB working with the national office, what happened when we took on the... At a certain point when we were going to take on Goldbusters, we were told we really couldn't do that. There was a kind of a freeze on... there was a freeze on the whole network about 6 months ago, wasn't there? I mean, there was a freeze. And we said to the national office in the changeover, we said to Summer Reese, we said, look, the worst that's going to happen if we take Goldbusters on, we're going to lose $30,000, and it's not going to work. That's the worst that happens. We say we lost $30,000. The best that can happen is it's a pilot project for the national office. And if it does work, it proves we create a relationship, and then it can be multiplied by five, if you like, and we can do it for the whole network possibly. So that's where it's at with Goldbusters. It's really up to the national office to decide if they want to work with Goldbusters or not. But I think KPFA working with Goldbusters provides a model for the rest of the network. I think that's all. Gold Busters is involved, will be involved with grant writing. I've got on this list a whole bunch of grants that they want to help us write. They absolutely will be involved. Yes, they will be, yes. They'll be working with us. Now, we may have to spend a little bit more money to find some grant writing help as well. We haven't gotten there yet, but they've isolated a lot of names, a lot of organisations. They're registering with the government's grant agency, I don't know the name of it, which permits them to actually apply on our behalf to the National Endowment for the Humanities, things like that, which may be great for the apprenticeship program, for instance. So we are working on this, and it's pretty darn positive, I think, and I'm pretty proud of the way our staff's worked on coordinating with Gold Busters. I think that's it.
Okay. What I heard Andrew say was that we would convene a meeting early in the new year. Is that the idea?
Well, when they're available. I think next time they're in town, we can and should convene a meeting so that the LSB, who I know is very interested, particularly Andrea, are in this process, so they have familiarity with Gold Busters and can ask questions and whatnot.
And you'll keep us informed about
that. Yes, I will.
Thank you. Sasha.
I want to join in all the voices in congratulating KPFA under your leadership for having put together that BAI fundraiser. And I have to say that what I've heard from the national office was that it was inspiring to see all the stations also working together and that KPFA basically was the backbone and leadership and in putting that together, and that it really made a difference, and that everybody forgot their arguments for a day and the days leading up to it and planning, and everybody just enthusiastically jumped in and worked together. So I had one question. You had said that the unpaid, we're working with Otis to put together a program to register unpaid staff, and I wasn't 100% clear on that. Did you mean to also keep track of their hours? And then the other thing was, it sounds to me like Gold Busters is doing some surveying and coming up with ways of raising money for us, development work. And as you know, because I've communicated to you, but I think I'll elaborate a little bit more, that I was online kind of looking for help that the CAB might use in putting together a listener or potential listener survey, not doing development work, but that does feed into it, having a better understanding of our listeners. And yes, I do know that there has been a survey going on for the last 16 months, but frankly, that flies in the face of how these sorts of surveys are done. They are not done over a 16-month period with programming changes of a dramatic sort in that time frame. And I actually found somebody who has a firm that does consulting for radio stations in which he puts together surveys. He happens to be another Aussie. And just coincidentally, I had no idea at first that I was talking to somebody in Australia. And he is willing to work with us in putting together such a survey for free or a small donation. And so I would like you to encourage you to pursue that with me. I've tried to make a connection for you, but I think it would be a good thing for us to take advantage of.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a timer designated. Laura's volunteered to do it. Okay. It's okay. Laura's going to handle the timing. Okay. So, and so the speakers I have are Tracy, Laura, and Cynthia. Tracy, are you ready to go now, or do you? Okay. And Andrew, did you want to respond to Sasha?
I can again briefly. I mean,
okay.
I'll be happy to pass this around. I've only got one copy, but it's a funky copy. But you can actually have a look for yourself. And you do have a copy. Oh, okay. Please give it back to me. I've got a few notes on it. This is the Gold Busters report so far. But we also have their survey results, their initial survey results. Now, there are not a lot of names. I think maybe 50 names or something like that. But they tabulated the... Look, the good news is that all of this has been tabulated and done. With all due respect, so I love the CAB. But that CAB survey has been out a darn long time. And we haven't seen any results. And I'm not blaming anybody. It's a lot of volunteer effort. And it takes time to do this, and now we've employed a professional organization. This is what they do, and they've done it, and we're moving forward, and it feels pretty good. We could consult with them again to see if we want to do another survey. I'm not sure that we do. I'm not sure that we don't. I don't know, but we can certainly consult with our development company, Goldbusters, ask them, and perhaps they would be interested. I think that, and yeah, we'd be willing to work with them, I think, but let's ask Goldbusters.
Okay. Tracy.
Yeah, hi, Andrew. A couple of questions. First one is easy. What's the goal for the winter fund drive? The second question, I'm not asking for an answer about this right away. I'm just putting it out, is, you know, you discussed the travails of WBAI during Hurricane Sandy. Does KPFA have any sort of emergency plan for the, you know, 9.0 earthquake we're all waiting for in the next 20 years? And if so, is that something the board could review at any point? I don't know that I've ever seen any catastrophe planning. Sounds like a good idea. The third question is, you said there was a Goldbusters report. Is that available or not available at this point in time?
It's going around the table.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay. And then the fourth question that I have for you might or might not be answerable right now, and I understand that, and if it needs to be something that we take up later, that's perfectly fine. It's been coming to light that KPFA has had a job-sharing program with the EDD in operation for some period of time, approximately a year and a half, give or take, which is being renewed, which is great. The question that I have is your awareness of this program and also whether all employees have been invited to participate. And if not, that perhaps we need to remedy that. So if you could tell me your awareness of that program, how it operates, what the standards are, and if all employees have been invited to participate. It was news to me that it was in operation, and I just want to make sure that we understand fully what we're doing. Thanks.
I should answer that. The job-sharing program, like you, I was not aware of it when I arrived at KPFA. I learned at it when you wrote a letter asking for director's inspection. That was the first I heard of it, and my understanding is we've explored it. We've signed off, I think, on, I think, four people, C.S. Sung, I think Chris Walsh, Mike, Brian Edwards, Ticket, and there's a third name I can't remember. These were all people who lost hours in 2010, and they can make up those hours, the small number of hours that they, well, the number of hours that they lost by getting, it's not a officially unemployment, but I think it comes out of the same area. Now, some of our staff are eligible, but according to our business manager, have not applied for it. They can if they want. We certainly can re-advertise the fact that this exists, but as I said, I only learned it existed myself fairly recently. As far as I know, of course, you're very welcome to do a director's report. I think it's all above board. All the paperwork's been signed, sealed, and delivered. And I've spoken to the business manager about it. She's very aware of it, and I think it's all above board, so far as I know.
Thanks,
Lee. KPFA emergency plan. We had a number of meetings when I first arrived at KPFA, and we do have a plan. In fact, after the hurricane, we decided to revisit our own plan. I think most of you probably know that the transmitter has a backup. There is a backup generator at the transmitter site on Grizzly Peak. In fact, there's a backup transmitter even up there. There's a backup generator at KPFA, which fires up every Tuesday to check that it's working. We have a week's worth of diesel to run it. There's a list of phone numbers in the studio, and announcements have gone out to all staff with the names and phone numbers of people to contact. We're starting with Eileen Alfandari, who's closest to the station, who comes down to the station to run the ship if indeed things go wonky. if we can broadcast from Grizzly Peak if necessary, we're aware of that. We can even call Steve Hawes, who can do Morse code. I'd hope we don't need that. But no, it's something we absolutely are aware of. We need to work on it more. We do have a plan. I'll be happy to share it.
Thank you. Okay.
And the winter fund drive numbers?
$275,000.
Thank you. Okay. So I have on the list Laura Privis and Cynthia Johnson. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the list to talk? Oh, Sasha wants a second chance. Okay. Okay. Laura, go ahead. Oh, yes, of course you do.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about the WBAI fundraising day, too. One of the good things about that, because it really showed what we're good at, which is doing radio. Like, we have the capacity to do national radio. It showcased the talent from all over the network and our legacy. In that way, it was really amazing, and people were able to come together, and also there was leadership who, you know, actually our GM and other people came up with the idea. Summer rejected it at first because nobody at KPFK wanted it, but when she found that there was a team here that was ready to go with it, we talked it through with the engineers and realized we could actually do it, and we did it. And it was really beautiful, and it's like, and people gave money. You know, we can survive as a network and as radio stations. If we do good radio, people are going to pay for it. That's what we're all about. So I just wanted to remind us, instead of fighting, let's do radio.
If I may, Madam Chair, I just want to point out this was not a solo effort by any means. Mitch Jeserich was absolutely key to it. I was basically in the background, and we had a great support, Laura amongst them. Brian Edwards Teekert amongst them, working behind the scenes, writing pitch points, Michael Yoshida, John L. Mellor over in New York, people down in Alan Minsky, the program director at K, right across the network. Everyone pulled together. It was really great. It was a joint effort, and I think our staff should be commended.
Thank you. Cynthia.
Andrew, thank you for this briefing.
Microphone. Wow.
Thank you for this report and the responses and everyone's. I'm very buoyed by the fact that we have taken some steps to work together, etc. And I do want to point, and I'm very happy that we're going to do something about development. I want to point out that it's not simply Andrea. The reason I even ran for this board as an old white lady was that I've never seen a billboard. You know, I've never seen any of this development in the many years that I've listened. And in these 2 years, we haven't been able to do anything about it. So I would like this LSB board, when we meet with Goldbusters, to say what we can do. I'll go on a billboard committee, because that's been my little whatchamacallit. I mean, because our charge is to help raise funds and develop. So I just thank you all, and I think we can do it. But there isn't just one person concerned about this by any means. I want this LSB to really work with Goldbusters and everybody else to see what we can, you know, do what Laura was describing.
Thank you, Cynthia. Sasha?
Yeah, I'll be really brief. I just wanted to make one mention of something, because I did mention the CAB, and I just wanted to say that that was not in any way to put down the CAB or their efforts, because I know that they've been working on this survey. It just was questioning, you know, the length of time, and part of it was just they had really not figured out or had any way of marketing it. I know board members were all given a bunch of copies, and was suggested we hand these out to people we know, and I don't think that happened very much, and most of it was done. I would say probably at least 90% of all those surveys came from people being asked at our events to fill one out, and the KPFA events are a pretty narrow pool. I mean, they're generally speaking Caucasian and over 50, maybe even over 60 is the majority of that audience, so it's not really representative. But I didn't mean, you know, but I did not in any way, I wanted to make sure everybody understood that, mean that to put down the efforts of the CAB. And, you know, what I was talking about was something that might be a little bit more inclusive and perhaps look at potential audience as well as just our audience, you know.
Andrea.
Andrea, I just wanted to share that as a teacher, we get approached. Berkeley Rep has a really awesome program of outreach. There's a guy named Dave Mayer who is the outreach coordinator for Berkeley Rep. They have a 9-county network where the, what they do is, like, he just offered my class, I'm having happily. He says, look, we're having this production at Berkeley Rep. Here's some free tickets. Bring your class. And we're going to work for 10 hours in your classroom helping them to understand the play, helping them to... And what they're doing is they're building loyalty to Berkeley Rep. They're building the next generation of theater goers and so forth. They've got a 9-county network, and they've got these relationships with people in the schools and so forth. And I guess what I'm... I just want to underscore my desire to participate somehow in an overall development plan where we've got this whole team working on different projects but checking in. And what I know that we actually tried to have a development group here, and we had a couple meetings, and it sort of fell apart, I think for lack of consistent leadership, that if I don't know who I'm accountable to, I feel very uncertain. I feel like I can easily misstep. And so that's what I'm looking for, and I hope that between you and Goldbusters and the fact that we don't have an identified development director, which I surely wish we would, and I hope to include that in next year's budget. But that's what I'm looking for, because I think there are lots of really interesting projects that could fall under that, that could be serving an outreach as well as development purpose.
Okay. That exhausts my speakers list. Is there anyone who forgot to raise their hand? Excellent. Okay, so now we're ready for the treasurer's report. Barbara.
I'm going to pass around a little 7-page handout here, and when it gets to the end of each table, there should be enough copies for the audience to have also. And this is not a financial report, but it is a report about something that our business manager has been heavily involved in. And in fact, it's in response to criticism by the auditor that employee records and records for volunteer staff also needed to be updated. Let's see. Did you keep one? Yeah. So this is an condensed version. There's a few more pages in the real thing that has been passed out to all the staff members. It's a requirement that people read certain rules, regulations, not only of the organization, but also employment law. And now all the employees' files are being updated. And when I say employees, I'm using a broad word. Anybody who works in the building. And In fact, many of the pages have to be signed by the people, recognizing that they've read the policies, and then the copies of the pages with signatures are returned to, at this point, the business manager and go in the files that are kept for the various staff groups. Maria has also even color-coded things. The information sheets are all white, but the packet that she gets back from everybody, if you're a paid staff, it's one color. If you're a volunteer staff, it's another. If you're an apprentice, it's something else. And so they're trying to make sure that everybody is up to date on these policies and reads them and signs that they do know what they are. And the cover sheet on this little packet, you'll see that I've made pencil marks opposite some of them, and those are the ones that are included in this version that I'm passing out to all of you. Some of these items have a number of pages attached describing a policy, but we didn't give you all the pages here. If anybody wants to see the rest of the packet, this is available from our business manager. Now, hopefully, not only is this a thing that's been pointed out as missing by the auditor, but this also relates to people's understanding of the policies of how they're to treat each other, and it will also facilitate the organization in having work relationships where nobody ends up wanting to sue us. So that's the monetary effect of having this. Otherwise, it's designed to, as I say, let people know what the legal requirements are and have a more cohesive, hopefully, idea about working together. I don't have any budget report for you today, and that's because, of course, you all are aware of all the changes happening in the national office, and they are getting ready for an audit, so they have not produced a year-end report. We have nothing to distribute yet about the financial statement at the end of the fiscal year. I'm sure we will by the next meeting that will be held in January. And indicative of the fact that there has not been a human resources person on the national staff is the fact that our business manager has stepped up and taken care of the human resources needs. In other words, this set of documents, bringing up people's payroll, the whole payroll thing. Is it? Boy, are we glad that that is settled. There are still corrections to be made before the end of the calendar year, so that statements that go out in January about people's wages will have all the corrections in them. But as I say, she's been very diligent in getting these forms distributed to people and the things returned back to the files. The one financial thing that I'll report to you just verbally today is that as of yesterday, the cash balance in our bank account was $246,000, and the accounts payable waiting to be paid is $30,000. Short report today.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Short report. Any questions, comments? Floor's open. Tracy.
Hi, Barbara. So I guess there's no month-end profit loss, even preliminary, done just for the KPFA unit? Because I was under the impression when you closed the month in Great Plains, you run reports accordingly. So
well,
I'm wondering,
there wouldn't have been time to balance everything by December 1st for November anyway.
Okay. Is there anything for October?
Tracy, they have been working diligently on lots of things, and no.
Okay, so I haven't seen anything since August.
Well, yeah. No, we had an 11-month report not too long ago with some projections
August.
To the end of the year, and that was the last statement that was distributed.
That's the last profit and loss statement we have for KPFA. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. And then just a note about this. This is more informational than anything else. This is a nice stopgap. It's basically a summary of about 1/6 of the existing personnel policy, which was written in 1996. I have a full copy. The full document is about 70 or 80 pages. And I guess we're not distributing it anymore because it's so wildly out of date. So I guess it's good to know that there is a revised full policy under development, which should be, again, about a 50 or 60 page document. It'll be comprehensive. It should, if all goes well, be available by the end of the year. So thank you for doing this.
You're talking about the employee handbook that is so many pages.
I'm talking about a full personnel handbook and policy statement that will include all of these
this
materials
is,
and
of course,
more.
This, of course, doesn't have the total handbook. This is just the forms that are distributed to
summary,
the employees with which they need to respond.
Yeah. So I'm just saying this is kind of a temporary stopgap until that chunk of work, which is the full update, gets done.
I wouldn't call it a temporary stopgap. I would call it a necessary element of the whole process that is now completed. I mean, provided all the staff turn their things in. And Maria is on everybody's case to get it back.
There will be a full handbook, and most companies have a full personnel handbook, and we will as well.
Okay. Andrea.
Just a quick one. What
Can we get from Maria that you stated? You said that she has something that if we wanted to see.
If you look at this cover page, there are some items I did not put a line to the left of.
Okay.
So those things you could see. And some of them that I did mark mm-hmm. actually have two or three more pages, tiny print or something,
something like that.
explain more than the one sheet for that item that's here.
So if you want copies of that, you
can either ask me for a complete pack.
Or go check with Maria.
And I could get one to you, or you could check with Maria.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Laura.
Yeah, I just think this is really important that we start to get our ducks in the row about how we conduct business and quit being our old hippy-dippy selves, because it's us. Sorry. but we definitely need to update the employee handbook. I'm actually want to help on that. I think it's really, really, really crucial. We've got to stop all the lawsuits. We've got to just get organized and do things right and not have it be such a big problem it's dragging us down.
Oh, just one. Go ahead.
One more question. Will this help with knowing who's in that in our building?
I think you're referring to the problem of when people come in and out the door and do we know who's there? No, but one big thing that isn't in this example that I've given you is that there is a sheet now required that people put in emergency contact information in case there is any need by staff or you know whoever in the building to help someone with an emergency while they are there.
We'll get a better understanding.
Yeah,
of
the whole business
of
about
unpaid staff.
Everybody,
well,
everyone that this has been distributed kind of to is being requested to turn in, you know, personal information about their phone number and emergency contacts.
Right.
And that doesn't address the problem, though, of, you know, if we had a different business about going in and out of the doors, we'd know who checked in and who checked out and so on.
Security numbers.
That doesn't, it doesn't address that.
Okay. Yep, that we got it. Work on. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So now we're at the point where we've moved the new business, the PMB. I'm sorry, was there anybody else who wanted to talk about the treasurer's report? Thank you. New business, the PMB bylaws amendment was to come right here after the treasurer's report. And I personally would like to suggest that we take a 10-minute break at this point and then come back and do the bylaws. Is that okay? Okay. So 10 minutes gives us till 10 of 1, approximately. Be good. Come back soon.